If you're an older millennial or Gen Xer, the sound might be music to your ears. The sound, of course, of Ms. Pac-Man might take a lot of people back. The iconic 80s arcade game featured a character that earned points by eating little pellets and avoiding swiftly moving ghosts. The game eventually made its way to more advanced consoles like Atari and even to people's cell phones. Well, Ms. Pac-Man might see a rise in popularity again because the old-school arcades that made the game famous are coming back. Michael Sampson is the owner of an 80s-themed arcade that will be opening soon in Milwaukee. It's called 1983. He's one of several business owners in Milwaukee that are making low-tech games cool again. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Now, you're about to open a retro arcade in Milwaukee. What do you think the appeal is of playing old games from the 80s when we have such high-tech stuff available today?
Yeah, I think it's just generates with a lot of the older millennials, kind of the your 26 to 35 year olds, that these are the games that they grew up playing. And you know, when I was a kid, I'd go to arcades and in malls, or more restaurants had them back then, kind of something for kids to do while your parents were busy shopping or eating. So I think it just kind of resonates with that 25 to 35 year old age group.
Now, I'm older. I can't believe I'm admitting this on the air, but I'm older than 35, and I love, these are the games of my childhood, too. Are you seeing Gen Xers in there?
That's a good thing. I don't really know where I classify. I think I'm an older millennial / Gen Xer, so I can relate with you as well, Veronica.
Well, give us a sense of what some of the games from this era are and, you know, what the point of them is, because they're simpler. The goals seem to be a little different than what I see my kids playing today.
Yeah, I can't believe some of the games that are coming out today and how realistic they look. But some of the ones that we're bringing in, NBA Jam's a favorite. Some of the fighting games like X-Men, Super Mario Brothers, obviously Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, Double Dragon, a lot of those early NES games.
Now, you did not list my favorite game, the best game, which you have to have, Galaga.
Galaga, we've already announced, and it's going to be there. My one of my employees, Kelsey, that's her favorite, so she demanded it.
It's really good. We have a few of them in the neck of the woods where I live. They always seem to be broken, though. How do you maintain these old video games?
So I'm partnering with a company in West Dallas called Mitchell Novelties, and they have just warehouses and warehouses full of these games. So they kind of maintain and repair and just fix all the machines for me as needed.
What do you hear about the appeal of these games? Why do people want to play them? Is there something soothing almost, do you think, about them, playing something that's so low-tech?
I think so. I think in today's busy world and how fancy your phones are and everything these days, I think it kind of is relaxing to sit down and just play an old game that you could kind of turn your brain off and, you know, just play something that resonated with you in your childhood.
Did you ever play the game Q-Bert?
Yes.
So Q-Bert is a pretty simple game. The little guy hops around on these cubes and tries to not get eaten by the snake. It almost seems, you know, at first blush, it seems like this is not going to be fun anymore. We've been exposed to such more advanced technology when it comes to our gaming that these games are not going to hold our attention. But do you think they have the potential, you know, not just to be sort of a kitschy thing for millennials, but do you think there's a potential for younger generations to get into them too?
Yeah, I think so. That's the excitement. Our location is directly across from the new Bucks Arena going in. So I'm really hoping that, you know, a father and a son or a mother can go to a game with their child and kind of swing by the arcade before or after the game and kind of show them a game that they grew up playing, and hopefully their child will be excited about it as well.
Now, you said this was something that you had done, playing these retro arcade games. What was the vibe like in the arcades that you went to?
I specifically remember going to the Oregon Piper Pizza on Highway 100 back in the day, and it was a lot larger of an arcade then from what they cut down since then, and just kind of have a back room. But just that craze of in the early 80s, mid-80s of the arcade, these were big times for those big cabinets and arcades back in the day. So it was kind of sad to see them go away and kind of die off in a lot of the locations, but it's exciting to see them come back now.
Do you think that on the business end of things, is this a money-making proposition, or is it going to be more about the drinks that you sell? Because these games are only a quarter, you know, token for you, but a quarter is something you can make money on?
Yeah, I mean, like any bar, you know, your money's in the drink sales. So, you know, hopefully people are drinking some beer and cocktails as they're playing, and, you know, every additional revenue, I think, would come hopefully from corporate parties. I've already been reached out by a couple corporations that want to kind of rent the space out during the week. So I think that's a big market as well.
Now, the arcade you're planning, we've been talking about, is called 1983, and this is a significant year. How come?
1983 is the year that Nintendo was released in Japan, and also the year I was born.
Have you heard from people about why they're excited about something like this in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee's always had that. It's always been a good market for games. I mean, Aladdin's Castle used to exist back in the day in some of the malls. And like I said, some bigger places like Organ Piper would have more cabinets. But just Milwaukee doesn't have this yet. And I do a lot of traveling and have been to some in other cities like Cobra and Phoenix and a couple of them in L.A. and the original arcade in New York. And they're always pretty busy with people, and people are excited to be there, and we're excited to bring this concept to Milwaukee.
Now, the music from these retro arcade games is one of its signatures, I think. You hear more cinematically scored stuff today, but these old-school retro arcade music themes, they're really fun. Do you have a favorite?
You always love the just the classic Mario theme when you hear it, so I really enjoy hearing that still. But just those scores from those video games are even coming back in more pop culture. When you watch Stranger Things, which I think comes out this weekend, you know, they have those kind of old 80s scores of either video games or 80s music that I think are really kind of coming back in the popular scene, along with 80s and 90s parties and other things like that, because everyone is that age now that, you know, they can drink and have fun with those things.
We're talking to Michael Sampson right now. He's the owner of an 80s-themed arcade that's going to be opening soon in Milwaukee. It's called 1983, one of several business owners in Milwaukee that are turning to low-tech, older video games from the 80s. And, Michael, I was thinking about the way we're really in the golden age of television right now. And one of the signatures of this era is that we have these incredibly extended storylines. And the stories themselves are rich and immersive. And these 80s games are kind of the opposite. They're short. You, like we were talking about, you put your quarter in, you play for a few minutes, and it's done. Nothing extends beyond that. Why do you think that appeals? Because in a way, it seems like it's going against the grain today.
I think there's deeper and richer storylines in those games as well. There's more simplicity as, say, a Donkey Kong game where Peach is at the top and Mario has to get to the top to kind of rescue her. But there's obstacles and paths along the way, so every game kind of has their own story, just not as extensive as maybe the TV and storylines today, but there's definitely stories behind those old video games as well.
Yeah, we talked about some of the good ones. We talked about some of the games you're going to have. My favorite, of course, Galaga, the best game. Burger Time is my second. But are there games that you look to and you thought, you know what, this actually isn't fun anymore. This is not a good game, and I'm not going to stock it.
I think each game kind of appeals to different people. I never played Burger Time growing up, but I know a lot of people love Burger Time, so we plan on having that there.
Awesome.
I also plan on doing a monthly rotation or a bi-monthly rotation of games just to kind of get a fresh game in there, and, you know, hopefully that's someone else's favorite out there. Every game I'm bringing is not going to be one of my favorites. It's just we pulled some people and done some research, so. And traveling the country and seeing what other arcades are putting out there. So we think we're going to have a good mix of games.
What do you think it was that led to the decline of the old-fashioned arcades that you were talking about?
I mean, computers coming forward was a big thing. In the 80s, the arcades kind of dwindled off. I think when you have these personal systems coming out, like Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, you just want to be at home playing those as opposed to going out to a bar or an arcade that might have these. So I think that was a huge thing with that. And then obviously with the computers coming out with IBM and Apple and some of those games getting popular in the 90s, that kind of pulled away from the arcades as well.
So any other way that you're thinking about kind of getting that 80s feel into the business you're going to open, 1983?
So I've been researching just some wall art, kind of some 80s movie posters that I've been interested in putting up possibly, and I really want to have one of those laser photo backdrops that kids had you know, when they take school pictures, so people can take pictures in front of that, and people would kind of know that, you know, they're at that bar then.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to finding another working Galaga game in the state of Wisconsin. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yes, no problem.
Michael Sampson is the owner of a new 80s-themed arcade called 1983. It's going to be open soon in Milwaukee.